Hi, welcome to the Chaz Palminteri podcast. I got to tell you, I really enjoy this medium. I'm having a lot of fun doing it. I've always loved telling stories. I always loved giving life lessons. I always loved giving master classes in the art, in acting, writing, directing, filmmaking. So for me, this has just been a blast. I want to remind you all, if you like the content and you enjoy listening to me, please hit that subscribe button. Also, comment on YouTube if how much you like it, don't like it, whatever, and rate it, review it, and leave a comment. You can leave your comment on YouTube, or you can just email me at chazpalminterishow@gmail.com. Your questions, we like to devote a couple of episodes every month, one episode answering questions. Sometimes we do it at the end of the show. If we have some time, we do it. So send your questions in. Now, so many people love the Neighborhood Logic segment. And now I did that with the funny stories. Stories from my past growing up in the Bronx. Wow. So many people commented that they love it so much. We're going to do it, some more different stories for those of you who really like that. My friend Timmy Knapp, you know, you say, wow, this guy Timmy Knapp was a character. Let me tell you something. This was a character. This guy was a one of a kind, this guy. I love him. I miss him. He died years ago, many years ago, long time. And I miss him a lot. Selfish son of a bitch, but funny. Cheapest bastard in the world, but funny. But I remember we were down his basement house, his basement. And, you know, his mom and dad were upstairs. And he said he wanted to smoke some pot. I said, all right. I said, are you sure it's cool? Well, your mother and father are upstairs, you know? He said, don't worry about it. I said, you know, your father is pretty much against this, and I knew that. He's not going to know nothing. So him and I started smoking pot, getting really high. Now, you got to remember, what I'm about to tell you what happened, we were high to go through this when you're high. Okay. What happened was we hear a door open. Boom. Boom, 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 boom. He's walking down the steps. Then we hear the door to the basement open. Boom, 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 boom. Walks in. And he goes, what the hell are you guys doing? That shit's coming all the way upstairs. We smell it in the bedroom. And he looks at Timmy. He goes, and you, Timmy, what are you doing smoking that shit with him? Because he's the one who got you hooked on pot. I'm like, oh, my God. Hooked on pot? He goes, you want to smoke that shit? Go to India. This is what he said. So we're like trying not to laugh. He goes, Chaz, get out. I want you out of this house. So I get up, and we're walking to walk up the steps, right? All of a sudden, Timmy's mother's on the top of the steps, right? And she goes, Timmy, she's yelling down, put your hands and swear that you'll never do it again. His father goes, swear to us, you'll never do it again. I said, Timmy, just swear to them. He goes, Chaz, shut up and get out. Don't forget, I'm stoned now going through this. So she runs. She goes, ah! She runs away. And then we see her, as we're walking up the steps, she pulls this big crucifix off the wall. And she goes, Timmy, put your hands on this and swear you'll never do it again. And the father goes, Timmy, your mother said to swear. Put your hands on it and swear. I go, Timmy, just swear. He goes, Chaz, get the fuck out. They're all screaming this, right? And I'm stoned and he's stoned. Finally, he goes, all right, Ma, all right. He throws his hands and head on the crucifix. And he goes, I swear to God, I'll never do it again. And all of a sudden, Al goes, he swore. And his mother goes, he swore. Thank God he swore. And all of a sudden I go, can I leave? Get the hell out. So they throw me out of the house. I walk out of the house and I'm walking down the street. And I'm like saying, what just happened? I can't believe what just happened, you know? So then he gave his word that he swore. He gave his word. So the next day, this is like the end of the story, but this is the punchline. I walk into our social club And there's my friend Timmy smoking pot. I said, Timmy, you put your hands on a cross. You gave your word. You gave your word to your parents. You would never do it again, anyone like this. He's smoking a joint. He goes, my word's garbage. My word's garbage. That's what he said. Oh, God. Oh, God. This guy was so crazy. One day he told me, he says, come on, I got to go up to DaViga. I don't know if you guys don't remember. It was a sporting goods store named DaViga. It became Modell's, if you remember it. So we pull in front of DaViga. He goes, wait outside, keep the motor running. I said, why? He goes, just do it. I said, all right, I don't know what he's up to, right? I'm waiting outside. All of a sudden, the door flies open, and I see him running, but he's walking like a penguin, you know? I said, what the hell's that? I look down. He's got these white sneakers on that he robbed because he left his real shoes there. He got into the white sneakers, but he forgot to untie them. So they were stuck. They were tied together, and he's walking like this, like a penguin. And behind him is a guy chasing him. He opens the door, hops in the car. He goes, go, go, go. And I take off, and they're banging on the car. And I said, here I am, a wheel man in a sneaker robbery. I mean, really. This is my life with my friend Timmy now. I'm telling you, man.
I know you were mentioned one story earlier about the guy with the garbage strike. I have to hear.
The one with the what?
The kid with the garbage strike.
Oh, when he threw him out the window?
Yeah.
Oh, God. There was the garbage strike in New York. I don't know if you remember that. They didn't pick up the garbage for weeks, and bags of garbage just like, you know. So we went to this guy's house because this guy owed my friend money, and we don't have to get into what happened. And he was older than us, and we went there, and he said, just come with me to watch my back. We're like, all right. So we watch his back. He goes in the house. He grabs this one guy, right? He said, if you don't give me money, I'm going to throw you out the window. The guy said, I don't have the money. He gets him, throws him out of the second floor window. The guy happens to fall on all the garbage bags, comes running back up screaming. My friend throws him out again. He threw the same guy out of the window twice. And the guy didn't run back up again. I mean, I'm telling you, this was like growing up in this time for me in the 50s and 60s was such a beautiful time. And that's why I love sharing these stories with you and documenting them. A lot of these stories are in my movies or in my scripts. And this is where I get it from. This is where I get these stories, just like in Bronx Tale and Sonny and the things they did. I mean, around Christmas times, so I had two friends. Both named Nikki. I won't say their names because they're both dead now. They died. Wow. Good guys, but, you know, whatever. They would put on white shirts like salesmen and black ties, the skinny black ties back then, and they would walk into Sears. See, it was called Sears Roebuck back then. And they would just walk in like they worked there. They would take out a rack of clothes, like the whole rack of clothes, and just walk right out with it. Just keep walking. Yeah, I will be right back. They talk to customers. Yeah, well, we're getting a new rack. Yeah. And walk right out. There's a van there. They would put the rack in the van and come right down to our neighborhood. They would swing open the door. I remember them swinging open the door going, hey, avoid the Christmas rush. And they would sell everything to the neighborhood. Women would buy dresses, guys would buy jackets, and they would do this all the time. How they never got caught. I mean, the things we did and never got caught, I don't know. How I'm here today talking to you. And this is why I write all these stories down in my movies. So many of these stories couldn't make it in Bronx Tale, and I put some in the other movie, Faithful, and some in scripts that I did. But We would constantly, I remember we would throw cherry bombs. Remember cherry bombs? We would throw them across the roofs at each other. There was one crew on one roof, we were on the other roof. And we would throw them back and forth. And all of a sudden, it was so crazy, so nuts, that all the cop cars came zooming in onto the corner. And all of a sudden, they got out of the car, and they looked up at us and said, "You son of a bitches, stop throwing these. We're going to come up there and kick your asses." And at the same moment, at the same exact moment, the crew from that corner and the crew from this corner, on two buildings, we all looked at each other. And we, I don't know, must have been like on the same wavelength. And we started throwing them down at the cops. And the cops are running through the cars. Boom, 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 boom. Diving at the cars, diving at the buildings. We ran down at the fifth floor. My friend Sal was there. Sally Slick. We went down and we dove into his house. And we shut the door. And we heard the cops running upstairs. Yelling, "We know you're here. We're going to kick your asses." They knocked on the door and his mother opened the door. She says, "No, there's nobody here." What are they going to do? They couldn't barge in. She closed the door and we're laughing inside. Because we literally threw like 30 cherry bombs down at them. You know. So
And a cherry bomb's like a firecracker?
Oh, cherry bomb is loud. Oh, shit. And the bad thing about a cherry bomb is when you throw it, when it hits, it just doesn't hit. It rolls. So it could hit and roll left or right. So it could follow you as you're running. It's like a landmine. And the funny thing about it was they were diving in the police cars. Some were diving underneath it. And it was like explosions all over. Like artillery. Boom, 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 boom. And we're laughing. We're laughing.
And they didn't get anybody. Nobody in your crew.
They didn't get nobody. Because we always had an out. On the fifth floor, we made friends with the person on the fifth floor to go right from there, boom, right in, shut the door. Oh, my God. How am I here? The getting high, the driving on LSD, how crazy is that? You'd be driving in the light, we go red, green, red, green, red, green, yellow, green. You'd be going, is it green, is it red? What is that? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I remember once, me and my friend Bunny, you heard me talk about Bunny once. We were like really whacked out on LSD. And we pulled up to this like road. And it was like a stop sign. And there was like this long, long road. And I looked to my left and I saw this car coming from way, who knows, could have been a mile away. I mean, literally, it was just this little car. So I looked at it, and he looked at it, and I said, "Hey, Bunny, you think we can make it?" He says, "I don't know. It looks pretty close." And we kept staring at it for 10 minutes. And then finally the car went, and we went, "Okay, I think we could go." And we drove across the street. I mean, walking on Orchard Beach. Remember Orchard Beach, Section 9, Section 13? Guys. We would hang out there with, you know, the girls. And we're hanging out there once, and my friend walks over and goes, "Hey, you want a Yankee Doodle?" And I said, "Yeah." So I took this Yankee Doodle. And about a half hour later, it started to fill up the beach. And I started looking for a spot, but it wasn't that crowded yet. So I put my blanket down. I wasn't feeling anything. I didn't know. I didn't realize he spiked me. Not knowing in the Yankee Doodle, right? So I lay down at the beach, and all of a sudden, it's beautiful, sunny. Everybody starts filling in all around me, girls. We had the music playing. It was a party, right? All of a sudden, I fell asleep, and I wake up, and I hear, screams, screams. And I look up, I open my eyes, it's black. From sunrise, it's black. The sky is black. Right, and all of a sudden I see people running past me. "Get on!" And I go, "What happened?" And I start screaming at people, "What happened? Somebody tell me what happened." I grab this one guy and I'm running with him. I go, "What happened?" He goes, "You better run!" I'm going, "Oh my God!" And I'm falling, I'm crawling in the sand. I get up, I start running. I run to underneath where the building was. Everybody's running underneath there and they're all standing there just waiting. I go, "What happened? Somebody tell me what happened." They go, "Wow, it's raining. It was lightning." It was just a lightning storm and everybody ran off the beach. But I thought it was the end of the world because not realizing I went to sleep straight and I woke up and I was tripping. And everybody was running over me. So, I mean, I don't know what to say about this. I mean, oh my God. See, I told my son, because I, you know, I always like to talk funny stories, but life lessons. When my son was young, he said, "Dad, you never got high." I said, "No, never. You never took drugs. Never. Nothing. Never." So I tell your parents, lie until they get older. When they get older, then they can find out. Because when they're too young, they're too impressionable. When they're 13, 14, because they say, "Well, my dad did it. I could do it." But now he's a grown man. He graduated college. And
I think he should tell quickly the video he got from you one time.
Oh, when I got a video in 10th grade. No text. You know, obviously you know.
Yeah.
No text, no anything, no phone call, just a video of you smashing a bong that me and a friend bought. We went halvesies on. Yes. It was just a video of you like,
I found this bong and I just smashed it.
And that was the video, like 4 seconds.
4 second video of me smashing this bong.
It was like a TikTok.
And he says, "Dad, you know, we just tried it. I mean, come on." And he goes, "You never did." I said, "Never.
Never. Not once.
Not once." He goes, "Dad, what? Never. Not once.
You'll die immediately.
You'll die." I said that. "You'll die immediately."
"Right away.
Right away. You'll just die." And but now that I'm older and he's older and he's a very responsible young man.
Now I do all the drugs I want.
Don't say that. You do not. You don't do any drugs.
No,
so,
never.
No, I know you. You know.
No, I don't do any.
Well, that's good. That's good because I worry about you. But I did worry about you. Now I don't worry about you no more.
Yeah, he's good. Make him swear on a cross.
Swear on the cross. Yeah. Somebody get a crucifix. We're going to make him swear on a cross. Gianna! Johnny, he swore on a cross. I know, you know, you do things crazy when you're young. The problem with being young is you're not thinking 5 minutes in advance. You're really not. You're not thinking. I mean, like I told you the story about the kids in the car with the, which I put in Bronx Tale and where Sonny pulled me out, but he didn't pull me out. Actually, you know the story. I just didn't go in. But all kidding aside, I talk about these days, but it was stupid. I made it out okay. So this is a great story. This is another one. I love telling these stories in our neighborhood stories segment. I was like, I don't know, maybe 16. And it was about 11, 12 o'clock at night. I'm living on 667 East 187. Now, maybe I was 18. Yeah, because my sister's older than me. And she was dating this guy. Wasn't from the neighborhood. And so all of a sudden, I wake up, my mother screaming, my sister screaming. I go, "What the hell happened?" And she says, my brother-in-law who passed on, but at that time, they were kids, and they were just dating. And she said, "Phil just is getting into a fight with some guys. Something happened." I go, "What? Phil? My Phil, your boyfriend? This is my neighborhood. Nobody messes with us. Wait a minute. I'll straighten this out." I'm like 17, 18 years old. I wake up. I'm getting dressed. My mother goes, "Don't start anything." My sister goes, Don't make it worse. What are you gonna do?" I said, "Leave me alone. You know, I'm full of piss and vinegar. I'm gonna straighten it all out," right? I go running down the steps, 5 flights, right? I come out, I'm walking towards the middle of the street. There was like this 5 corners there. Artuzo's Bakery's right on the side. There was Nat's Toy Store, you know, Lizzie's Drugstore in the bottom. And I'm walking right towards them. And I see my brother-in-law, well, he wasn't my brother-in-law, my sister's boyfriend going like this to this big guy. And this big guy's going like this to him. And I'm clearing the stuff out of my eyes, and I see who it is. This was the toughest guy in the neighborhood. I won't say his name. The toughest guy in the neighborhood. The most scariest guy you ever seen in your life. He looked like a refrigerator with a head. That's how big he was, okay? I said, "Oh, my God." And as the stuff starts clearing my eyes, I walk over to him. So he's over here, right? Phil is over here. This guy is over here. I walk right by my brother-in-law, get on the side of the guy from the neighborhood and go, "Hey, Phil, what'd you do?" He looks at me like, "What?" I took the side of the tough guy immediately. I said, "What did you do? You had to do something." He goes, "What, Chaz, are you on my side? I didn't do anything." "Never mind, you didn't do anything." What happened was, Phil got into an accident and hit him from the back and started yelling at this guy. Of all the cars to hit, he had to hit this guy. But till this day, my sister and him, well, he passed on a few years ago. Great guy. Real hero in the war, in the Vietnam War. So always said to me, "Oh, really tough guy you are. Real tough guy you are, Chaz. When Phil needed you, whose side did you go on?" And we laugh at that. We laugh at that all the time because we were so crazy, man. I was like, "Hey, neighborhood logic, right? Come on. I'm going to take his side. So we both get killed. I figured I'd save his life, right?" So I ended up saving his life. Yeah, the nuts in that neighborhood, my friend Muzzy. Oh, Muzzy. They called him Muzzy because he was like the war council. They called him Muzzy for Mussolini. The mayor was nuts, totally nuts. One day he says to me, I get a knock on the door. I'm with this girl in the social club. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. We're there late at night, right? I hear a knock on the door. I go, "Who is it?" "Muzzy." I go, Muzzy, what do you want? I'm with a girl. "I need to come in." I open the door. There he is. He goes, "Do me a favor. I got to do something. Leave the door open." I said, "What?" "Just leave the door open. I'll be right back. But don't lock the door." I said, "Okay." Me and this girl, we were getting into it. I got half my clothes off. Now I got to get dressed, right? And her and I get back on the couch and we start fooling around again. But I know why this guy wants me to leave the door open. God knows why. All of a sudden, I hear 3 shots. Bam, bam, bam. And then I hear, I hear a guy running down the block really loud. And all of a sudden, he busts open the door, shuts the door, puts his back behind it. He's got a .38 snub nose in one hand and a meatball sandwich in the other. And he's eating the meatball sandwich going, "Hey, I just shot the windows out of that guy's house. He owes me money. I fixed his air." I'm like, "Are you out of your mind?" He shot the windows out of this guy's house. But in the meantime, he got himself a meatball sandwich in aluminum foil. He's eating it while he's running. And he runs into the club and we had to lock the door. The cop comes. Cops came and we had to sit there until all the cops left. I mean, me as a maid, a girl, I never saw the girl again. She didn't want to see me no more. I mean, you know, I love my old friends. But, you know, don't get me wrong. A lot of my friends did very well. There was like a different type. It was like 2 different crews back then. The crazy guys, the good guys, but we all hung out together because that's the way it was. We all hung out on the corner. So a lot of my friends ended up, obviously, dead or in jail, but a lot of my friends ended up very successful in life. And those are the ones who really, you know, had good mothers and fathers. And I think that's what's really important. I had a good parents, and the ones that really made it and did very well all had good parents. A lot of the guys who didn't do well came from single-parent homes. I think they just couldn't control them. The neighborhood and the money and the drugs, the crime was too seductive for them. But if the successful guys, like my friend Phil, who passed on, and my friend Babes and Nikki and the other Nikki and my friend Dominic, all very successful now. And they became successful because they went to school, they went to college, and they all did the right thing. So I tell these stories not to glamorize them. I tell these stories for pure entertainment. It's fun. Would I want my children to do it? Absolutely not. Am I lucky to be here today? Yes. So I want to make sure that the young people who watch these things know that. It's like a cautionary tale. Because a lot of the guys didn't make it out, spent many years in jail, and lost their lives to crime and drugs. But it's always good to have a fun moment. And in every dark cloud, there's always a little light. So sometimes I have to talk about the light, but I have to talk about the dark so you'll understand the light. But this is Chaz Palminteri's show. And it's, you know, I love these segments of just neighborhood stories. It's a lot of fun. Please, if you have any questions, you know what to do. Hit the subscribe button. Go to YouTube. Comment. Comment on YouTube. Leave a message if you like. Review it if you like. It's always great to get feedback. You got some questions? I'd be more than happy to answer them. In our neighborhood logic segment, this is my... this is my fun segment about my neighborhood stories. It's like doing, I love doing this because some episodes I teach about acting, writing, directing. It's like a master class with funny stories. So God bless you all. You have a good day. Stay safe and we'll talk soon.